This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So I'm starting to see some sunshine poking through the clouds where I am. But this has been the worst July, I guess officially, since 2002, so in 18 years. But just when people really needed sunshine, all we've gotten is cloudy days every day. I'm going to talk to Cliff Mass at the University of Washington coming up at 1:30 and find out from a scientific perspective if God is punishing us for being so silly as a region. I think that's why our weather's been so lousy. But a scientist, a meteorologist, might have a different take on it. But we'll see. We'll talk to Cliff Mass. I just want to find, I need some heat. I need some warmth in my life right now. So we'll do that for you a little bit later. That was, Nicole, that was one of the smoothest first hours from a technical standpoint that I can ever remember. That was really fun.
Flawless.
Oh, man.
Totally
flawless.
We started. Flawless.
If you're just tuning in, I had to restart my computer that drives all the broadcast right as we were going on the air, and it took it about 10 minutes to boot up. So then my backup is on my iPhone. We have an app. How come my app sounds so lousy? Because there are other hosts who, but doesn't John Clayton, when he's on the road, doesn't he use the same app? And it doesn't sound bad when he does it.
I think he uses a different one. I don't think that's what he uses.
Does he?
I mean, he might sometimes, but no, you sounded like me. There's just a slight echo. It kind of, you know, not to be super technical, but if you don't turn off your Wi-Fi, then I think your phone kind of bounces between Wi-Fi and towers. And so I think that I have to turn off my Wi-Fi before I connect, or that's when I start breaking up.
Oh, I didn't do that. I didn't turn off my Wi-Fi. But so that's the first 10 minutes. So I'm trying to do a monologue while the computer's booting up. And there are about four different passwords that have to be entered to initially get on and then to open this program and then a different one to open that program. And so I'm trying to remember all the passwords and type them in while I'm doing a monologue, which is a challenge. But anyway, we got through it. Then we got hooked back up on our studio mic that I have that I'm using right now. Then we do a live interview with the assistant Bellevue police chief. And right as I'm asking the most critical question, his phone drops off. We're cursed today.
Yeah, I'm thankful it's Friday.
Is it a lot of listeners think that it's Jay Inslee continually trying to silence me, that they are somehow jamming us, you know, like we were some pirate radio station that they need to be jammed. I think that's how our state government is now treating our show. Because the other shows don't have these technical problems.
Well, yesterday, the other shows are kind of, everybody else is doing half in studio, half, we're the only ones full out of studio.
Yeah. Who goes in? Does Curly go in? Tom doesn't go in, right?
Curly goes in every day. All the other producers do. I'm the only one that stays home.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it should be. You're special. You should get special treatment for crying.
Well, it's different when it's just we're a two-man team, you and I. Everybody else has more.
Yeah, I know.
It's doable
We're the most bare bones. We're the leanest. We have the, I think we have the highest output to person ratio. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I am very grateful. We're a two-man team, but we couldn't do it without Sean and Andrew. So I really do appreciate Ben and Chris today. So
yeah,
and Chris Martin today. Yeah, yeah. Sean, you're the glue that binds.
Thank you.
You're the straw that stirs the drink.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You're the garnish.
You're the garnish.
Yeah, that. That should I get to the Fast 15 now, please?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, thank you. Should your kids go back to school this fall? I got tremendous text response yesterday. Over 90% of the parents who texted me said, yes, get our kids back in school. Now, what I think it's ridiculous, all the restrictions they're going to have, because kids are just not at risk of this thing. And people always get furious, yeah, but they can catch it. And even if they don't get sick, they can kill their grandma. You want to kill grandma's story. Now, I want our kids to have some sense of normalcy. If that's the case, kids shouldn't go see grandma for a while. You know, I told the story. My father-in-law passed away a couple years ago. My mother-in-law is 86 years old down in Vancouver, Washington. And my wife tries to get down. And, you know, we all, my daughters will go down there once in a while. We all try to get down and see her, or she'll come up here. And we haven't been able to do that since March. And she hasn't been able, she's, you know, a very faithful Christian, and she hasn't been able to go to church since March. And it's, get our kids back to some normalcy. We'll just keep them apart from the high-risk people. But here's what they're talking about now. They're going to send the kids back. There's going to be a combination of online and in-class learning, which means schools are going to be operating at less than 50% efficiency because the online learning is ridiculous. The kids log in, they sit and text their friends the whole time, and then they act like they were paying attention. And as we told you a couple of days ago, in the official, it's interesting, the day after I talked about this, on Wednesday, the state superintendent of public instruction changed the official reopen document. And they took out what I talked about on the radio. And I assume it was in response to us talking about it. But on Wednesday, we told you about the reopen plans. And they said they will phase kids back in by priority. And the priority was listed. Serve students further from educational justice first, including students with disabilities, English learners, students experiencing homelessness, students experiencing poverty, students of color, and other student groups. So again, that was under the heading phase in by priority. So if you are a white, working class, middle class family, your kid is not a priority. According to the state of Washington, your kid is not a priority. Phase in by priority are the kids listed. Students of color, homeless kids, poor kids. As I said on Wednesday, every kid should be treated the same. When I worked in the public schools, which I did for 9 years, I had this disparate group of kids, some in poverty, some unbelievably wealthy, of all races, of all creeds. And you treat everybody the same. That's how you lift people up. That's how you build up individuals, and that's how you make a team. And you make the sum greater than the parts. But for the state of Washington to have said some kids are not a priority in the reopening it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. But the day after we talked about it, sometime that evening, when we discussed that on the air Wednesday, they removed that from the official reopen document. The exact same link, but they removed what we talked about on the radio. And so whether they're just trying to hide that they're still going to do that, or if they are getting away from that, We're going to talk to Chris Rakedahl on Monday's show and find out which it is. But now, let's get to the reopening. Because, as I said, they're telling us that some of the reopen plans, desks are going to have to be at least 6 feet apart. Well, if you've been in a lot of school classrooms, you know there's no way. Because a lot of schools are, and a lot of classrooms are still overcrowded. And so how are you going to put desks 6 feet apart? It also says, when possible, put barriers between the students. So they're going to have those plastic walls between desks. And again, why? When kids are at virtually zero risk of dying from this disease or of getting seriously ill from it. Also, sports. I don't know why they're saying, yeah, we delayed the fall sports season 2 weeks. And football's going to start on, whatever they said, September 5th now. And the other sports on September 12th. I don't see any way that's going to happen. No way. One of the rumors that I'm hearing from my contacts in the high school sports community is there may be no fall sports this year in Washington. And what they would do is move everything to a January start. One of the plans that I know has been discussed is that every sport would have a 7-week season. So football would just begin in January, and then 7 weeks later, the winter sports, wrestling and basketball. Then they'd go, no state tournaments, no state champions, no postseason. That's one of the plans that is being discussed. I know that. They don't want that to get out there, but I want you to know what I know. Whether that's what they ultimately implement remains to be seen. But I just don't know why they don't let the kids go back to school. So here is the debate, Trump versus Inslee on this. And as I teased an hour ago, you're probably going to be surprised who I side with on this. Because I agree with Donald Trump saying just reopen the school.
But the young and the healthy to safely return to work and to school. We have to open our schools. Open our schools. Stop this nonsense. We open our schools. Germany, Norway, so many countries right now. They're open. The schools are open, and they're doing just fine, and they're opening in the fall. So we have to get our schools open. Denmark, Sweden, we have to get our schools open and stop this political nonsense.
Okay, I agree with everything Donald Trump said there. But he also said he might withhold federal funding from districts that don't reopen their schools or fully reopen them. And that's what I disagree with. I don't think the federal government should be involved. I don't, as I said a few days ago, I don't think we should have a federal Department of Education. I think that cabinet position should be eliminated. We would save billions of dollars in the federal budget. You could get all those people off the taxpayer dime who work for the federal Department of Education. We just don't need a federal Department of Education. Delegate all of that to the local districts, the state, the counties, the local districts. And so when he threatens to withhold federal money, I disagree with the president on that. And Jay Inslee, he said essentially the same
thing. He has made a pattern, which is unbelievably callous, of holding our children as hostages in some sense.
Yeah, I agree with Inslee that Trump should not exert influence and let the local districts deal with this. Now, here's more Inslee. And as I said, on the fundamental notion of Trump says, let's just reopen the schools fully versus Inslee, who has some great reservations about that. I agree more with Trump on that.
It's just not going to happen. This is an individual who has a modus operandi of threatening things to try to intimidate people, and it's never worked for us, and it's not going to work on us.
Of course, that's coming from a governor who's threatening to put people in jail for not wearing a face mask. So, yeah, I think all politicians try to intimidate people to get their way. And, Governor, you are certainly not an exception from that.
Well, I just want to say this about his threats. They are hogwash. As with a lot of their claims, they have tried to bully us into making decisions that are not best for the state of Washington. And we know this. Decisions about school and how to have it on site or otherwise will remain with the state of Washington. These are Washington students, and Washington State has the legal authority to make decisions about their education.
Okay. So Trump is right that we should just get the schools reopened and forget about all these ridiculous restrictions on it. But Inslee is right that the feds should not try to control what we do at a more local level. Get the feds out of education altogether, we'd be a lot better off as a country. Next up in the Fastest 15, I have an update on the Molly Moon ice cream controversy. Molly Moon is the one that they put a sign in their window of their ice cream shop up near Chop that said, "Police officers, we are a gun-free store. You cannot come in if you have a gun," which means cops cannot come in as customers because cops carry guns. And it's worth replaying a couple of the cuts of what Molly Moon told Q13. She had kind of a snotty tone about our police.
"This is like my house. This is private property."
And Matt Lorch, the reporter at Q13, asked,
"People see it as anti-police. Are you anti-police?"
"I am anti the current police system. Yeah, I think we need major police reform."
"Do you understand that that may make a lot of people upset?"
"I do."
"And I don't care." But she said that cops make her employees uncomfortable.
"We had, I don't know, a few hundred come in packing their guns, and it was making my employees feel uncomfortable."
Oh, that had to be really hard for them to feel uncomfortable. Oh, it's like I have bugs crawling all over my skin just thinking about it. Discomfort is horrible. But how about that? We had a few hundred cops come in. So they're all coming in as customers, buying her ice cream, enriching her business, and then she goes and slams them like this. It's a disgusting anti-cop attitude. And I don't lead boycotts. I'm not part of cancel culture. But I know that I have been to Molly Moon's. I will never go again. I don't patronize businesses that hate our police officers. Here's the update to that story. The Washington Fraternal Order of Police has now sent a letter to Molly Moon Neitzel about this. "Ms. Moon Neitzel, we've been made aware of your sign outside the Capitol Hill location of Molly Moon's, specifically stating that police may not enter your business while in possession of their firearms. We are reaching out to you regarding this policy. While we recognize the tension between police and some parts of the community in Seattle, we want to point out that the officers entering your establishment in no way intended to make anyone inside feel uncomfortable. They were there for one purpose, ice cream. Please understand that statements such as yours are harmful to the relationship between peace officers and the community as we work to attempt to heal the divide. A vast majority of those in our profession are in agreement regarding the need to welcome some type of reform into policing. Our membership is standing ready and willing to meet with you and any other business owners or members of the community to have a conversation regarding these potential changes. Lastly, we want to assure you that should you need police services, officers will not hesitate to respond to assist you, your employees, or your patrons despite this incident. We are here to protect and to serve. And that's exactly what we will do if we are called. Thank you for taking the time to read this. Please do contact us should you wish to discuss this further. And that's from Marco Montablanco, the president of the Washington Fraternal Order of Police. What an incredibly gracious letter they sent. And it just follows up on what I was talking about yesterday. The mentality of a business owner, if they, heaven forbid, are robbed at gunpoint, or one of their employees is being sexually assaulted at gunpoint, and a cop's walking by, I think Molly Moon would want that cop to come in and intervene and save a life, save sexual assault. But she won't sell that same cop a scoop of ice cream on a sunny summer afternoon. That's really sick. That's just an incredibly sick mindset right there. Okay, next up in the fastest 15. Oh, holy moly. I'm going to have to save some of this stuff because Sean just told me I'm running late, and I am. So hold on. Much more to come. That was your fastest 15. Check the news. I'm going to have a quick conversation with Cliff Mass at the University of Washington because the first 10 days of June have depressed me weather-wise. Starting to get a little nicer today, I see. But I want to know if I'm going to get some heat here. So we'll do that coming up as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Well, I've been talking about this a lot on the show this week with the stay at home. People are definitely not as social as usual, and there's growing anxiety, depression. We're hearing about all those things. And I thought maybe our salvation from that would be some sunshiny weather in July, but so far it's been one of the stinkiest Julys I can remember. So the person I always turn to when I have meteorological questions, good friend of the show, Cliff Mass at the University of Washington. He joins us. Cliff, it's always great to talk with you.
Great to be on.
Okay, so first of all, what I just said, there is a component about just people feeling better when it's sunny and warm, isn't there?
Oh, I think so. And, obviously it affects mood. And unfortunately, June and the first week of July were kind of on the cloudy and cool side.
Yeah, well, and how bad has it been? Because I can't remember a July that started off this and this shows you what a wimp I am, Cliff. But I have a gas fireplace. I've turned the fireplace on every single morning so far in July. That's pretty wimpy. Well, I'll admit that.
Well, I'm not going to criticize you, but I will tell you that the first week of July was the coolest since 2002. So that's pretty good record. Okay. So it was unusual. And then normally we improve very rapidly after the 4th of July, and it hasn't been happening. But I do have good news. I think it will get better as we get into the middle later next week. I think we're finally going to break out of this, but it has been pretty bad.
So what's going on? I was looking at your blog. I was looking at how the temperatures have been about 10 degrees below normal throughout the state, that they haven't hit the expected normal high any day this month. So what is going on? Why has it been so lousy?
Well, meteorologically, I can tell you. And basically, what we've had is an area of persistent high pressure offshore and low pressure over the northwest. And what that has done is push the cool, cloudy marine air offshore right into western Washington, Oregon. So, that's the reason. It's this persistent pattern that's kept us cooler than normal and, to some degree, a little bit wetter than normal.
Okay, and you know we've talked about this a lot because, I thought it was ridiculous when people use 1 year weather blips when it was super hot a couple of years ago to say that that was some indication of some larger issue, and I would be equally reluctant to use a year like this to suggest that it's vindication for those of us who might not believe as much in the larger issue. But is this suggestive of any larger issues as a planet?
I don't think so. And I think what we're seeing is a natural year-to-year variability.
Yeah.
I think the year that you might have been talking about is 2015. I mean, that was one that was just the opposite. High pressure right over us. We were much warmer and drier than normal. And people were saying, you know, that's proof of global warming. The end of the world is here. Well, the next year it reversed. And so, you know, we have these warm years. We have these cooler years. I mean, in the long term, you know, as we get into the century, we do expect some steady warming due to climate change, due to greenhouse gases increasing. But at this point, the human impacts are small, no more than a degree. And these big fluctuations of 5 or 10 degrees, those are undoubtedly due to natural variability that's not forced by human beings.
Okay, so let's get back to your good news that you referenced at the beginning of this. Because here's what I love, Cliff. I love to do my radio show and then go out on my deck with a good book and bask in 80-degree sunshine. Am I going to be able to do that anytime soon?
80 degrees? Well, maybe not so soon.
Cliff!
But mid-70s, that I can give you. And in fact, today and tomorrow, we'll get into the mid-70s. Sunday, another weather system comes in. It'll cool down with some showers. Then we may warm up a bit on Monday and Tuesday. Then another weather system comes in. But we get past that. It looks like, you know, we'll get into a persistent pattern of temperatures getting into the 70s. What I don't see right now are any heat waves. And we haven't had any so far this year. And at least for the next week, I think there's very little chance of getting to a heat wave where we get into the mid-80s or 90s and it really warms up.
No, I need a heat wave. I don't want to, and I can't go to Vegas now because of the Rona. Vegas just sounds so filthy to me. I don't know if I'll ever go back there again. So I don't know where to go even for my heat wave.
Well, I'll tell you, go to Eastern Washington. We're very fortunate. We're very fortunate here in Western Washington. If we want a heat wave, very easy. Just cross the Cascade Crest into Eastern Washington, and there you can get 80s. No doubt about it.
And we sold our place in Eastern Washington about 5 years ago. What a dope I am. Okay, final question. From a purely, you are a scientist, from a purely scientific standpoint, is there any chance that this lousy weather is God punishing us for how silly we've been as a region lately?
I don't think so. I don't think God is watching our political machinations and doing anything about it. But this weather, you know, may have some implications for the COVID-19 situation. So we can't forget that. And comfortable weather allows people to eat outside. We can enjoy our outdoor eating. That's good. If it was very warm like it is in Arizona or in Texas or Florida, harder. You know, we'd be forced inside in air-conditioned facilities. It'd be much more dangerous. So in some ways, this moderate weather is actually quite good for us in terms of this COVID problem.
Okay. I guess you're talking me down off my depression over the weather. You know what, though? As we're speaking, I just saw some blue skies in outside my window here. So what do you know? You're the sunshine maker, Cliff.
And you will have some blue skies today, I guarantee it.
Okay, all right. Cliff, it's always great talking with you. I appreciate you taking the time.
Good to talk to you, Maury.
All right, Cliff Mass at the University of Washington. How are you feeling with all this? Text us at 98973, and we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I became very, very aware of how voting can be messed with during the 2004 Washington gubernatorial election. That was where Dino Rossi beat Chris Gregoire. I mean, it was one of the most shocking political stories I've ever covered in my entire life. Right after Election Day, Dino Rossi was declared the winner. It was so close, he had to undergo an automatic recount. And in the recount, Dino Rossi won again. And then at King County elections, all of a sudden, oh, we found a bunch of ballots. And look, they're all for Chris Gregoire. And on the third count, Chris Gregoire won the Washington State Governor's Mansion by 129 votes. And it was criminal the way that whole thing went down and how King County elections, you know, oh, we found a box behind the refrigerator. Look, it's got Gregoire votes. And the guy behind King County elections at the time, he's now pulling all kinds of the same shenanigans down in Southern California. The reason I bring this up is because there's a story in the news today about, well, what I would consider a questionable ballot that's been sent out.
When Ron Timms checked his mail Wednesday, he found something for Cody Timms. Cody doesn't get much mail. Cody is a cat. He died 12 years ago. The family keeps his ashes in this green container.
A great cat, indoor, outdoor. Loved his family, loved the neighborhood. He was 18 and a half when he passed away.
So the Timms were surprised and a bit amused when they saw what came in the mail.
We have a voter registration application for Cody Timms.
It even came with a return envelope.
How'd this happen? I mean, it's not reality. He's capped. Here he is, and he's been dead for a long time.
Carol Timms understands that in this election year, there's a huge push to get people to the polls.
There's a huge push, but if they're trying to register cats, I'm not quite sure who else they're trying to register. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure who they're trying to register. And, you know, we're seeing in Seattle, because everybody's asking me, how could this happen? You know, I talked at the beginning of the show, and I'll talk more in the big lead at 2 coming up. But this has been, and I say this with absolute certainty, if these two things that happened this week actually come to fruition, this will be the most disastrous, catastrophic week in the history of Seattle. And I'm not worried at all that that's exaggeration. When the city council passes the biggest tax increase on businesses in history, when businesses don't even know if they can reopen, they're teetering on the brink, and all the jobs are going to get driven to Bellevue and Redmond and Issaquah Plateau. Man, I was up in the Issaquah Highlands visiting friends last weekend. That's beautiful up there. What a great job they did developing all that. I've driven through a couple times, so it's the first time I've been to a neighborhood. Gorgeous. Nice job, Issaquah Highlands. Tacoma, Everett, all going to benefit. But in Seattle, how could this happen? Well, 76% of Seattle voters didn't vote in the last election. So who did vote? Well, you had the Sawant cult out there, and they were going to the homeless encampments. They were getting them to register. They were telling them exactly how to vote, promising all sorts of free stuff. And, you know, this ballot harvesting that goes on. But, yeah, when you hear about a cat that's been dead for 12 years getting a voter registration solicitation.
Oh, if they're registering dogs?
The Secretary of State's office says the application did not come from their office. They say third-party groups often use mailing lists to get names and addresses. They released this statement saying, third-party groups all over the country are targeting Georgia to help register qualified individuals.
Yeah, it was down in Atlanta where this happened. But, hey, if the cat was woke before it died 12 years ago, they would love to have Cody cast a ballot. Okay, more on the most disastrous week in Seattle's history next on the Dory Monson Show.